Hi, this is Randy Wimmer, and welcome back to the Entrepreneur Sound Off. Today's topic is using a business model instead of a business plan. Instead of having shelfware, one of these elaborate business plans that's just going to collect dust on your shelf, today's topic, what we're going to discuss is how to use a living, breathing business model or business framework to help you launch a successful company. Just so we have a level set understanding of what a business strategy is, I'm going to use my definitions so we're all singing from the same sheet of music. This is what a business strategy is for the purposes of this topic. It's your personal goals and your company's documented objectives and corporate decisions to achieve them. Let me say that again. A business strategy is your personal goals and your company's documented objectives and corporate decisions to achieve them. This is what a business strategy is not. It's not shelfware. I can't tell you how many people I've worked with and they've pulled out this massive business plan and it's got all the right slides and it's got all the right documents and it's been sitting on their shelf collecting dust. That's it. So a business plan has to be a living, actionable, usable strategy to move forward. If it's not, all you're doing is just creating paperwork because you feel like you're expected to do it. If you can't take action from it, if you're not pulling it up to help you make decisions or documenting your decisions, then it's not really effective. So what I've done is I've learned to use a framework or a business model. If you follow a checklist that you're going to find inevitably off of Google, because if you Google it, you're going to find literally hundreds of thousands of hits dealing with business plans. They're going to give you templates. And the very first thing that most people do is they start just hammering away, completing that template. And, months later, they feel like they have a business plan and they raise their hands and arms in triumph. And then they put it on a shelf and then they're no closer to where they were several months earlier before they started them. A business framework or a business model is flexible. It adjusts to your personal situation, your capabilities, your interest, your specific business environment, your specific competitors, and so on. And that's important because let's just think about this for a second. If there was a check sheet or a checklist that could walk a person all the way through to launching a highly successful, highly profitable company, well, geez, wouldn't we all be, multimillionaires, company owners? And the deal is there is not a single business launch checklist out there. And that frustrates a lot of the folks that I work with because they say, hey, Randy, you did it. Why don't you just give me your checklist with what you did? Well, I kind of explain it to them this way. I tell them that I followed a strategy to go to the water, figure out what kind of bait I should be using, figuring out where I should best cast my line. And then I cast my line in there. And I figured out how to best reel it in to attract a fish, and I caught a fish. And I tell them that whatever I did will not work for them. And the reason why is because my plan resulted in the fish that I caught. And the fish that I caught is mounted on my wall. You can't re-catch that one. Because there's a fish out there called your business success. That you've got to catch and you got to figure out a strategy to do that. Trying to follow somebody else's very specific strategy won't work. My first business strategy didn't work. My second business strategy, marginally successful. My third one crushed it. And then I went on to use it over and over and over and over and over again. So what I did is I used the DADDY framework. Now, the DADDY framework, obviously it's an acronym, and you can see what it stands for, dream or desire, but I like the word dream. Analyze, define, develop, execute, and evaluate. I took an existing business model, this is decades ago when I was in the Navy, and I used that to help me with a project that it was just wide open. I was selected to be the chief engineer on a ship, one of the department heads, on a ship that was in participating in what the Navy called the Smart Ship Initiative. That means we were allowed to try any damn thing we wanted to improve shipboard operation and quality of life. Anything. Basically, the only things we had to do was document what we were going to do and determine the results of what it is that we did and publish that for the rest of the fleet. That's pretty wide open. Improve performance and improve quality of life. Well, nobody really knew what those terms meant. And since I had a master's degree in operations research, and that's kind of what operations research bubbas do, it kind of fell largely on my lap. So this is, and I knew, like, I didn't even know where to start. And I kind of figured out that I need to follow a business framework or a business model in order to figure out this very complex project that I was stuck with. So I found one, and it was called the ADDIE method. And what I did is I twisted around the steps in the ADDIE method, which is basically used for course development, and I made it into a systems engineering approach, model. So I added a few things, I changed a few things, and it ended up being the DADDIE methodology for me. So if you Google DADDIE looking for additional information, you're not going to find it because it's something that I created a couple decades ago. However, let me just say this. This worked for me. It's not the only business model out there that can take you to the promised land. What do I mean by that? Isn't any legitimate business model or framework follows a very logical, disciplined approach that's largely iterative? And if you find a business model that you're more familiar with, that you're more comfortable with, that meets those attributes, that has those attributes, use that one. You know, there's nothing special about the one that I used other than the fact that it was familiar and it had those attributes. It was flexible. It was disciplined. It was iterative. So it worked. Now, this is why I decided to kind of talk about this at this point in our course. This right here is the Dunning-Kruger effect curve. And I tell you, I had never heard of this until I started doing some research for this program. And I can't believe, you know, how relevant it is to so many things in business and in life. Now, I'm going to explain this curve to you because it is just, to me, it's just mind-boggling. So what happens is at the very beginning, in the bottom horizontal is wisdom or time. You know, it's kind of assuming that, you know, wisdom correlates with time. So with more time doing something, the more wisdom you're going to have. And then the left or the vertical or the y-axis is confidence. So when you're starting out and you don't know that much, you have little wisdom and low confidence that you're going to be able to be successful. However, you start getting some knowledge, some wisdom, and you get that very quickly. It's like, oh my gosh, let me get this right. The federal government is the world's largest customer. It has a small business set aside where it's giving away, you know, approximately somewhere between a quarter and a third of all of its $1 trillion budgets to small businesses. And they even have specific set asides for women-owned small business, you know, service-disabled veteran-owned small business, 8A or minority-owned businesses, and hub-zone business, historically underutilized business zone, as well as just generic small businesses as a whole. And you think like, oh my gosh, this is a no-brainer. No-brainer. Very low cost of market entry. I don't have to go out and spend, you know, $1.5 million on facilities, equipment, a franchise fee, all that stuff. Nothing. You know, I can do this with literally hundreds, if not just a few thousand bucks. And now you're getting some wisdom and your confidence is skyrocketing. With every bit of wisdom that you're getting, you're saying like, oh my gosh, that is like, you know, this is it. I can do this. I can do this. And then you keep on learning. And maybe you're working with somebody. Maybe you're going through this program. And then all of a sudden I ask you the simple question, well, how do you write a proposal? And then you start to think like, oh my God, I don't have a clue how to write a proposal. How do you price a proposal? God, I don't know how to do that. You know, how do you do payroll? Gee whiz, man, I never thought about that stuff. So as your wisdom increases, now all of a sudden your confidence starts to wane. So you roll from the peak of Mount Stupid to what's called the Valley of Despair, but now you realize like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do any of this stuff. This is an industry that I've never operated in, and or I've never launched a small business before. Why was I ever thinking that I could possibly do this? And then with continued wisdom, you start addressing these things, you know, little by little, one by one, in a very structured approach. And then finally, you get to the plateau of sustainability. That means success. You know what it takes. You know, you got a high level of confidence that because you're doing it, and you've got a tremendous amount of wisdom, or you become a quote unquote guru. Now, this is going to come across wrong, but I promise to be transparent. I will share with you for every positive thing I say about my success, and some of the decisions that I made, I'm going to share 10, with you that is not very flattering. So I'm going to share this with you. I am way to the right on this curve. I have been doing this thing for a few decades now, and I get it. I get it. And the more that you understand, the simpler it becomes. You can see past all of the brush and debris until you've seen what really needs to happen. Everything else is just distractions. And that's what I'm hoping to share with you is don't get distracted by all these bright and shiny things. Stay focused on the objectives. And it took me about 8 years to figure out how to have initial success. I feel pretty confident that we can get that learning curve down in the months. So, and that's the whole reason why I launched Government Contracting Academy, because right now you're probably where that star is and you're really juiced about this and you're going to continue learning either without Government Contracting Academy or not. And then all of a sudden you're going to tip over and you are probably without help going to give up on the idea of launching a successful government contracting company. And that's a shame because this is a process and you need to have somebody to help you through, you know, the more knowledge to get you through the valley of despair. And what I mean by that is the more you know, the more you learn to a certain point, you just flip over and become less confident in yourself. So again, that's the whole reason why I launched Government Contracting Academy. Now, I didn't initially use the DADDY framework. I do like most people did, like, hey, I need to launch a government contracting economy for personal reasons, and I'll talk about those later. Now I'm here in a bit, and I did what everybody else did. I started looking for a good template for a business plan, and I started creating a business plan. And let me tell you how my success, how my initiatives turned out before I used a business model or business framework to launch a company. I first launched Analytic Strategies LLC in 2003, and I'm going to be very kind to myself and say it failed. Because, you know, to say I even launched it is kind of almost a stretch. I just didn't even know where to get started. Then I did a few things to learn some more, and then I relaunched it in 2006, and I had some success. I could operate a small business successfully. I was my only employee for most of that time. However, I did pick up an employee or two there for a brief period of time. But for the most part, I learned how to manage a small, simple company, but not grow it. And if in this industry, if you're not growing, you're dying. And that's what happened. Finally, I died on the vine and I went out of business. So when I relaunched in 2010, I didn't have any money, no revenue, no nothing. But I used a different strategy. I was going to use the Daddy framework. And I'm telling you, that had made all the difference in the world. Now, there's a few other variables that went in. I had a lot of, you know, hard-learned lessons from those first two launch attempts. And I'm telling you, if you fail fast, you're going to succeed even faster. So, you know, there was a lot of that went into it. However, much of the credit went to using a structured framework to figure out how to launch a successful business. So, in 2010, I relaunched Analytic Strategies using the Daddy framework, and I crushed it. I ended up selling that company in 2016, and when I sold it, it had near vertical growth. Sometimes I think I sold it maybe a year too soon because it was like inertia kicked in. Momentum, it was just unbelievable. I was crushing it during the time period I was selling it. Also launched Secure Enterprise Analysis, LLC. We were awarded multiple contracts. And before 2010, I ultimately subsumed those contracts as part of Analytic Strategies. Essentially, I launched Secure Enterprise Analysis to enter market spaces that I didn't have access to, you know, with Analytic Strategies. There's A3IS, Align Across America Information Systems. It was a partnership, and we were awarded $70 million, and I ended up selling my shares to that. And then finally, Planet Risk and Planet Risk Federal. And what I did, they were the company that bought Analytic Strategies. I was an owner and board director of that company. We decided to split the company into Planet Risk and Planet Risk Federal, and we sold the entity separate in 2019 to give us, in essence, a second and actually a third bite at the apple. So that's how effective GCA, the Daddy framework works. Now, I also applied it to non-government contracting academy things. So it doesn't work. This isn't just for government contracting academy. It's not just for federal government contracting. And in fact, it's not just for business. It's for anything. You can, if you wanted to remodel a home, you could use the Daddy framework. If you wanted to launch a nonprofit, you could do it. Whatever you want to do, whatever is a large, large undertaking that you got to get your arms around and you got to figure it out chunk by chunk, using a business model is the only effective way that I know how to tackle something that's large and complex like that, such as launching a company. So a little bit of success outside the government that was caused by using the, or supported by using the Daddy framework. My sons and I, we launched three companies. The first one was a nonprofit organization that was highly successful. And it ultimately received our nation's highest award for service and volunteerism, which is the President George H.W. Bush Points of Light Award. Remain Prepared, that was a social impact company where we created study aids for Boy Scouts. One of the reasons why a lot of Boy Scouts start to, you know, drop out of scouting as they get older is because the advancement requirements get more challenging and there's less infrastructure support in order to help them. So we launched a social impact company that would provide them study resources, flashcards, digital videos, you know, lessons, things like that, so they could advance through the various ranks all the way up to Eagle. And then finally, one of my sons and I, we launched EcoCierge, and that company, wow, I'm starting to think that, you know, my son was actually, you know, say, hey, Dad, should I go to college now or should I stick with EcoCierge? Because what we were doing is we launched a company that provide eco-friendly, you know, home and lawn care services. We're talking about maid services. We're talking about lawn care. We're talking about the people who spray your lawns for pesticides, fertilizing your lawn, your pool maintenance, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It can certainly be done in a more eco-friendly way than the vast majority of companies are able to do that. So that's what we did. We created a company that would provide those services, and there was a tremendous demand for it. And we were able to charge a premium because for those people who are interested in that as a cause, they're willing to pay significantly more because they understand that typically there's more costs, and there are, in order to be able to provide those services. So I show you these because I don't want you to think like this is just a quirky little, you know, federal government contracting step-by-step, you know, procedure. This thing is so broad that you can use it for anything. So what we're going to be doing over the next topics is we're going to be breaking down each one of these steps in the DADDY framework in order for you to create a business strategy. And the reason why I say we're going to do this first is what most people do when they launch a company, people aren't dumb, especially entrepreneurs who are really smart people. They start reverse engineering this thing and they figure out, okay, what do I have to do first? And almost all of them say, oh, I got to register a legal company. Well, I recommend not doing that because once you register a legal company, you've got its structure already defined, you have its name, all those different things. And then as you continue to mature your strategy, now a lot of times you have a disconnect. You have a disconnect between what your strategy is evolving to and then what you rushed out and did at the very beginning, which is maybe get a name that doesn't apply. And the classic example of that is Jiffy Loop. If that's all you ever wanted to do was do oil change for cars, Jiffy Lube has got to be one of the absolute best names in the world. Now, think about this. Let's just say that you want to do total car maintenance for your customers. Well, Jiffy Lube is really, really limiting. When you try to think of it from that perspective, it's like not too many people are thinking to take their car in to Jiffy Lube to get their transmission, get a new transmission. So that's, in that respect, is a horrible name. So, I'm not saying that the owner, I don't know anything about Jiffy Lube's history, but that would be a classic case where somebody could have gone out, said, hey, Jiffy Lube's a great name, it's really clever, and we already have the capability to do, you know, lube oil changes. And then within 6, 9, 12, 13 months later, they say, oh, man, we could really grow into this other area of auto care. But they got a name that's really holding them back. So that's why I say you've got to have a strategy before you rush out and do all that administrative stuff. And I hope this helps, and we will talk about the next steps in the DADDY framework in our next topic. See you there.